Are you struggling with fear, depression, or anxiety? Are you in search of meaning and purpose? Would you like help navigating your current life circumstances? Tarot can help. Tarot is a powerful tool for healing, introspection, and spiritual awakening. The Esoteric Toolkit is a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science. It consists of tarot, numerology, astrology, and the Hermetic principles in conjunction with the modern science of consciousness. The revelation and application of this knowledge gives you the tools you need to help master your life, organize your mind, and overcome depression, fear, and anxiety. Learn to manifest your dreams and come into alignment with your highest self and the universe. Book your private one-on-one tarot reading today. Click the link in the description or go to www.theorderofchaosmagic.com. You can also find monthly tarot packages, a private Discord community featuring shadow work, and Mercury retrograde support groups, and much more by becoming a patron at patreon.com/theorderofchaos.
Welcome back to the Order of Chaos podcast. Today on the show, we have Kristen Ramazana, also known as the Underworld Queen. Kristen, it's great to have you back on the show. And yeah, really good to see you.
I am so excited to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to talk because Witchfest is coming up.
I know.
It's going to be really cool.
I am so, so excited. So for anybody who's listening who has no idea what that is, it is a virtual festival that I run with my co-host and good friend, Jackie Giuso. It's a festival that runs for the entire month of October. And we have a ton of incredible guest speakers, such as yourself, who are going to be presenting different topics. It's going to be so much fun. So for anyone looking to celebrate spooky season, learn a ton of different stuff. It's going to be epic. And the cost of the general admission Witchfest ticket is literally like the cost of what one masterclass would be. And instead of just one masterclass, you get masterclasses for the entire month of October from incredible occultists and witches and healers. So it's going to be super epic. And I'm so pumped to have you a part of it.
Thank you. No, I'm stoked that you asked me. I've been wanting to do this kind of thing, do presentations and such outside of my own brand. So thank you. I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited to see everything that's going to be happening. I think it's a great idea. What inspired you to do this?
So actually, last year, my friend and I were sitting with it, and I always like, as we talked about last time, like I love like Salem and Halloween and like, you know, like those, the festivals that run that time of year. And so like, I'm someone who like, when I have the funds and I have money to just throw around, like I will be one of those people that runs a haunted house for the entire year and it does not close. Like that is the kind of thing, like I love bringing people together. I love the community that is created in terms of events like this. And so we had this idea to essentially create a virtual festival to bring people together. And it was just so incredible last year, like the people who met different artists and other people, like it, the community that was cultivated from this is huge. And I'm really big on that because I think that being an occultist, being a witch, being a healer, like whoever it is that you are, whatever it is that you call yourself, it can be a very isolating path. And so to be able to come together and to learn from other people is a huge value of mine. And so we decided to make it happen. And of course, as the guides will do things, like they'll drop something in your lap and they'll be like, go. And so we had like 2 weeks last year to throw this together because they're like, you're going to do this thing, like do it. And so we threw it together and seeing like how little time we had to prepare and how epic it ended up being. We're like, all right, we're going to do this again, but we're going to give ourselves a longer, you know, runway next year. So it's just been really cool getting excited, getting everything ready, adding more speakers, adding more events. Like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. I can't wait to give a talk. I'm going to be talking about chaos magic and the Hermetic principles, which are topics I'm very passionate about. I love what you're doing because there was a time and some of the old guard, which I would just call like trolls on Facebook, you know, would love that the idea, what was it, to know, to dare, to will, to keep silent, right, was a part of the craft. It was a part of witchcraft, and I'm not keeping silent. Fuck that. I'm done with keeping silent. People need this information. People need to reconnect to spirit. And I'm not out here, I know you're not also to like proselytize. We're not trying to force spirituality on anybody, but it's lacking, and people are depressed. Mm-hmm. And people are not feeling well, and something's missing from their lives. And to hoard that and to keep it a secret is bullshit nonsense, in my opinion. Like, we need to get people, like, I don't know how a person gets through life without tarot cards, honestly. Like, how do you anything? how do you get through life without understanding astrology? You know, you don't know what's going on around you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, to have the tools and the wisdom that could help the masses and to not offer that. And again, I'm the same way as you. Like, I am not about ramming anything down anyone's throat, because that you're being the church then. You know what I mean? Yeah. No one wants anything rammed down their throat. So it's like, I don't give a fuck if people work with demons or not. But if you're going to come to me because you're curious, I want to be able to teach. I want to be able to be open about it. And it's also super healing from like a karmic past life standpoint. Like, all of the lives where I got brutally murdered for doing what I'm doing now, it is freeing and healing as fuck to be able to speak in front of thousands of people and be like, demons, witchcraft. Like, it's massive. It's massive. And I also think keeping this stuff in the shadows perpetuated the fear. Because it's like, if you yes. think about it, like in times where the veil was very heavy, there was very little education, there was very little spirituality, there's very little contact with anything outside of yourself. And so fear ripped through those communities even faster than it does today. And then on top of it, there was a lack of awareness and education. So if someone was doing something differently, everyone thought it was evil and this and that. It's like, I think that if all of the witches came together and also tried to help people understand, would the witch trials have happened the way they did? We don't know. We're never going to know. But if we perpetuate the same activities that have gone on, meaning like hiding in the shadows, keeping it quiet, like doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, is the definition of insanity. Witches have tried to hide, that didn't end well. So let's flip the script. That's my opinion. And it's not a coincidence that more people than ever before are waking up, but waking up hard. Like, they're not just like waking up to spirituality. They're waking up to like demons and like the deep, deep truths around the world and themselves and like light and dark. And so to, again, have these tools, have this wisdom, and to not offer it as an option to people who are seeking help, like, that's corrupt as fuck. That's terrible. Like, how could you have someone coming to you for help? Mm-hmm. Even just who are curious about what could potentially be beyond themselves, and to hoard all that information. Why? I mean, this is how crafts die with cultures and people, because it's not shared. It's not spoken about. It's not taught. So then these things get extinguished.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but it's just a fact that several of the wealthiest families in the world, some of the wealthiest monarchies in the world, have kept this information to themselves, used it for their own benefit. But in so doing, when you don't share it and you hold on to it, it gets twisted into something mm-hmm. that it's not. And then the real information gets lost. And then it all gets obscured in metaphor, and the metaphors aren't very good, so people don't understand it very well. You know, and again, that's why I love what you do so much, because you bridge the spiritual and the magical and the demonic, and you're like, here it is in psychology, here it is in a way that we can talk about it, and let's bring the two together and show that you cannot really understand either without both.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And so going back to your point about the wealthiest families, I feel like everyone's like super afraid to touch that because no one wants to be seen crazy or conspiracy theorists. But like, these are facts. I mean, these families have retained so much power. And so when we look at the symbolism that they weaponize, you know, they weaponize like the, you know, anyone who believes in the Illuminati, the all-seeing eye, like, they weaponize the third eye, they weaponize witchcraft, they weaponize the dark arts, they weaponize demons, and it makes people afraid. And so people who take a very black and white approach say, oh my God, people who are doing corrupt, dark things are weaponizing these things. So those also must be evil and corrupt and dark. And they swing really hard into the light, into a very polarizing experience. And that's like a very wounded reaction, you know? So nothing good comes from a wounded reaction, swinging hard out of fear, out of spite. And so I do believe, and I'm willing to say this, like, I do believe that these things are weaponized on purpose. Demons are weaponized on purpose. Occult symbolism is weaponized on purpose to drive people away, to hoard the magic, to hoard the secrets. Because when you dive deep enough, you start to uncover the truth about everything. And so I firmly believe, and again, there's going to be people who are triggered by this. I do believe that there are some people that will never find alignment in long-term goetic work, meaning like it might not just be for them, but not feeling alignment and feeling deeply triggered are not the same thing. And so I do believe that if someone is diving into spirituality and they haven't gone all the way down to demons to form their own opinion, they haven't gone deep enough. And that's something that can be weaponized by the media, by Hollywood, or by parasitic entities, like whatever it is driving that fear of us will weaponize that. Because I see it happen. People will dive into spirituality. They'll either go too fast, too deep, too soon, and they freak out. They have like a spiritual psychosis, or they like do ayahuasca and they see demons. And then they jump to a whole bunch of conclusions. They're like, oh my God, I'm surrounded by evil. I gotta go back to church. And it's like, did you even take a fucking second to unpack that? Like, did you even, are you just making a bunch of assumptions?
No,
you know what I mean? Like
right into occult psychosis, which is a very real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because people are not doing shadow work. They're not integrating what they're learning. They're not unpacking this. Like they're going really deep and then they're freaking the fuck out and they're bolting in the same direction that they were running from. And then they wonder why they're not fulfilled, because fear is driving every fucking decision. And so for most people, when they get down to demons, the most feared, arguably the most feared, the most taboo, the most demonized beings in spirituality, when you get to them and you realize that they're not what you've been led to believe and that they're not evil and scary and they're not looking for your soul, there's really no more fear that can be held over you.
They're a part of your soul.
Right. They will 1000%. And so it's like, then you have to ask yourself, like, if you really think they're evil, then you must think you're evil.
And now you're doing shadow work.
Yep.
Okay. Everybody hold on to your butts, because I'm going to make a big jump here. Okay. So you said this is great because you talked about people just running towards the light. Okay. So evil never shows up saying, I'm evil, I'm here, I'm evil, I'm here to be evil. Evil always shows up disguised as good. Always. Evil is a bright white light, and it will always show up as such. Okay. That's something I firmly believe, metaphorically. Now, here's the big leap. All right. Because you do past life work. And here's something I talk to all my students about. And by the way, if you're listening to this, this is the kind of thing you're going to get to experience at Witchfest. It's going to be great. Okay. So here we go. In doing your past life work, what are your thoughts on the white light at the end of the tunnel when we die? What is that? And are we supposed to move towards it? Because I tell you, I have hesitancy. And one thing I tell all my students is, like, I don't care what you believe about what happens after you die, but you should have a plan. You should not go into death with no idea of what you're going to do or what questions you may ask. If you're able to ask questions, maybe you should have a little bit of a plan, because one thing that people always talk about in their near-death experiences is that bright white light. And I am skeptical of it. So I would like to know what you think.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that question. This is going to sound so silly, but I'm being completely serious with my response. When my soul departs my body, if Hades and Belial are not in a skeleton horse-drawn carriage waiting for my soul, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not fucking going anywhere, because, and I've seen this way too many times. So what's really interesting is when people pass on in a way that there was no religious trauma, religious conditioning, et cetera, they actually see. So when we regress someone into a past life, we go back with the intention of healing or uncovering something. And for many people, there's a benefit to understanding or seeing how they died, especially if there was something that needs to be healed within their death, or if it perpetuated or kicked off a karmic loop. So for most people, they need to see their death or at least understand what happened. And so for people who had no religious conditioning, when we go back to lives where there was like tribal stuff, et cetera, they saw their soul sink down through the earth, down to the underworld. And what's so fascinating is I've seen this play out so many times, because obviously a large part of my work is clearings. And so when souls depart, like we are sold this belief that like the limitations exist in the meat suit and then we leave and we're just like this ascended thing. No, if there's a lot of fear and religious conditioning that you've moved with throughout lifetimes, that doesn't just depart your field when you die. It actually changes where you think you're supposed to go. And I can't tell you how many times, because I've seen this happen. I'm going to use one specific client example, because this is the best way I can describe it, in like a very touching way. So I had a client come to me. She was doing some work with me, and one of her brothers had passed away tragically and struggled a lot in life with trauma, et cetera. So like passed on with a lot of density in his field and a lot of attachments. We come to find out that he never actually arrived at quote unquote the other side, A, because of the density in his field, the shame, the guilt, the way he passed on and all of the attachments. But part of it was the religious conditioning. He was grown or raised Irish Catholic. So he was taught that if he didn't go to heaven, if he didn't ascend through those pearly white gates, that he was somehow going to be damned and that he wasn't good enough. So it just perpetuated again the shame and guilt in his field, which makes a soul like that an easy target for like entity fuckery and all that kind of stuff. So when we go to connect with him, she's assuming that he's going to be somewhere in one of the, you know, divine realms. He was stuck in a shitty lower astral plane dimension because of all the shit in his field and because of all the shame that was being perpetuated by the religious conditioning. Because he's like, I'm distraught. I can't get into heaven. Like, I can't go. I can't go through those gates. So we had to call forth his sister's guide, who was also the brother's guide. And it was Hecate. And she was like, listen, that realm is not heaven. That's the upper realm. That's for deities. That's not for people. You guys all fucking think you're supposed to go up there because Christianity told you that. But he's like, she literally was like, you're stuck because you're trying to ascend into a realm that's not for you. She's like, you're supposed to go down to the underworld, but it's not hell. Like, and you need to see it. And so he was like fighting it, whatever. So we had to like heal his field, strip away the density. And then we made a little negotiation. We were like, listen, will you just like come check out the underworld? Will you just come like see it and feel it out and see how you feel? And then if you don't like it, we'll try to go to the other realm. And he was like, okay, we get down there. His grandparents are down there, all his family members, all of his childhood pets or whatever. And he was like, oh my God, this is home. And so he was fighting, resting, because he was conditioned to move toward the light, toward the gates. And that was perpetuating his trauma. And so this is where like I am a firm believer, like if you don't unpack this shit now, you're going to have to do it later, whether that's in between lives, whether that's in the next life. And so it's like if you're terrified of death, if you're conditioned to believe through religion or whatever that you're supposed to move to one place or whatever, you better unpack that now because you're going to unpack it as a soul. And what's wild is I've actually had multiple people. So, for example, I have a client who had an irrational fear of getting stuck here as a ghost, quote unquote. And she would have this recurring dream of dying and being trapped here and not being able to talk to any of her family and friends. And whenever we have recurring dreams, it's usually past life trauma coming to the surface to be cleared. So naturally, I take her into a past life. We find out that happened. And she passed on with a ton of shame and guilt in her field, and it trapped her here. And she was stuck here. And time is doesn't exist in spirit. So like in human years, she was stuck here for 20 years. Trying to get a hold of her family and friends. And so we had to obviously do a bunch of healing around that, et cetera. But she had a fear of going to hell. So she didn't want to go down. She didn't want to go up. She didn't know what that meant. And so it's like, it's in your best interest to unpack this shit now so that you don't have to do it later in like a more unfavorable way.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, like I say to all my students, have a plan, just have a plan, you know, that resonates for you personally, for what you're going to do when you pass on. Because, you know, if you're here talking to me, if they're there talking to you, then they probably believe in some kind of afterlife. They understand that spirit is real. And so have a plan.
Yeah.
Consider your options. And, you know, regarding hell, this is, you know, another way in which the Abrahamic religions traumatize people, obviously. It's probably the primary way, right? But hell, the idea of hell is an appropriation of the Norse underworld, which is guarded by Loki's daughter, whose name is Hel. But it's not a place of torture. It's just, it's where you go if you don't go to Valhalla. And you only go to Valhalla if you are a man and you die in war, in battle, in this epic way. And that's part of their belief system, and that's fine. But everybody else went to hell, and it wasn't a place of torture or anything negative. It's just the afterlife.
Yeah. Well, right. And so, but what better way to control people than to convince them that if they don't do exactly as someone else says, that they're going to be tortured in a fiery pit of torment for all of eternity. Like, that's a great way to dangle carrots in front of people. That's a great way to manipulate people and control people. And so it's like, we have to unpack this. And this is something that we talked about last time, and I'll say it again. It's like, if you step away from religion and you come into the spiritual or occult space with the same level of fear and the same rules, you're not actually stepping into spirituality. You're stepping into another church. You're just smacking a different label on it. Like, if you want to actually truly be free, you have to unpack everything you've been told and be willing to deal with the cognitive dissonance that comes when you realize you've been fucking lied to. It's that simple. It's really that simple.
And that's, so to wrap up kind of this whole conversation about that, at least, or to you know, get back to what we started with, the white light. It's the carrot that they're dangling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a carrot being dangled because you think, oh, you're supposed to go to heaven, right? And here's this bright white light. Oh, that must be heaven. But like Hecate said, that's not where you're supposed to go. And so what happens, what I believe happens when people do that, is they just, their soul gets recycled or it gets, you know, just shoved right back into another human body that maybe isn't what they want or where, or, you know, the right thing for them. And they don't unpack anything. It's just, whoop, do it again.
Oh, well, 1000%. That was the next part of what I was going to say about that is when, if you do get sucked into the light, and again, I didn't die in this life. Luckily, my soul is still fully intact. I did not have a near-death experience. So this is just personal opinion based on what I've seen through other people's sessions and what my guides have shared, et cetera. And it's like, I'm not demonizing the light deities. I have no problem with archangels, et cetera. However, we are conditioned to take all light as good and all dark as bad. It's not that fucking simple. And I can't tell you how many times people have a trickster spirit show up looking like Jesus and it's not fucking Jesus, you know? So we got to be careful. We have to use discernment. But there is a belief that your soul will get sucked right back into the reincarnation cycle and not from like a sovereign place. Like, the work that I do like is to help people step into their sovereignty so that whether you're incarnated in this life or you're in between lives, like you get to choose. That is one of the hallmark characteristics of Earth. Like there's free fucking will here. And so if you are sovereign in the way you pass on and the way your soul moves between lives, you're going to set yourself up to have a better shot if you do decide to come back versus getting sucked right back into some shit scenario that you didn't fully fucking sign up for because you didn't understand what it is that you were doing. And I've actually worked with a lot of people who have a lot of resentment. And we come to understand that they felt like tricked or forced into this life. And they're like, I didn't want to fucking be here. I'm just here though. And they had a really hard time wrestling with the fact that they didn't feel like they chose it. And that's a hard pill to swallow because when you go through a lot of trauma, but you feel really sovereign and like, okay, I understand why I chose to learn these experiences and yada, yada, it brings everything full circle. But when you feel like you're here going through all this bullshit and like is not necessarily necessary, that's a really fucking hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think that if you go through that and you're just reincarnated right back into another human body without unpacking anything, without gaining any real understanding, it's got to be this incredibly traumatic experience. And the more times it happens, you accumulate more and more and more trauma. And then you get to the point where we are in the world today where everybody has PTSD, like everybody.
Yeah, well, right. Whether it's this life or past life. And so what's wild is like I have some clients who come to me who from a this life standpoint haven't had a lot of trauma, but they present as highly traumatized. And they've never understood why. And they feel ridiculous. And then we start to go into their past lives and they've had some horrific shit happen. And sometimes they haven't had time to unpack these things. Cause like the way I take people through, especially when we do recent past life stuff, cause you can go back as far as you want. But what's really interesting to me is when we start to unpack like the last life or two we had before this, because a lot of times we bring in the unfinished lessons, we bring in the karma, and sometimes we do it unnecessarily. And so it's like when we come out of a life in a really traumatic way, like the last life I had before this one ended super fucking traumatic. And so I brought all that shit into this life. And so you're like bringing a loaded gun into the situation because you're carrying all this unfinished business and you're not unpacking any of it. And so it is really important to understand like what has happened life after life after life, because we are sometimes just bringing unnecessary karmic contracts in that should have been closed like 17 lives ago. And then we wonder why the world is on fire right now, you know?
Yeah.
Literally and metaphorically. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, and then this is why I feel like, you know, now we can't keep silent about any of this stuff. We have a responsibility to offer people, you know, this esoteric wisdom and say, hey, this helped me so much and I want that for you.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And so for me, like, and I shared a little bit about this last time, like everything I've endured, like if I didn't have my guides, you know, if I had no idea I was in my Saturn return, if I didn't have these modalities, like I don't even know how I would have persevered. And it's really sad because I see people try to do it without this. And again, not forcing it on anyone. If you want to try to go through life flying blind without your guides, without like you do you, but I've seen people try. And they walk away from soul aligned businesses. They throw the towel in the moments where they need to step up further because they don't understand what's happening. And so when things get chaotic or when we feel fear, our human brain's like, danger, bad, run. And we're not realizing that sometimes we're actually like moving through a growth portal or we're at our edge and we just need to go a little bit further to kind of break through. And so it's like when we don't have that internal guidance coming from our soul or intuition from our guides, like you're probably going to make a lot of fear-based decisions and you're probably going to sabotage a bunch of good shit that's trying to come to fruition for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's, and you know, as you know, I'm dealing with that right now myself. I'm on the verge of saying, you know what, it's time. I'm going to do this full time. Because I am so proud of the school that I've built and everything that I'm doing, but I have to do 8 or 9 hours at my day job, a couple hours of parenting, get my kid to bed, you know, get myself grounded and centered, and then start to work on my business. And I want to offer my students and my clients so much more than that. And it's not even about, like, I mean, it's a huge financial risk to me. My day job is something that, you know, provides stability, but I want to provide the, I want to do what I'm here to do. I just want to do what I'm here to do. And I want to do it to the best of my ability. And so that's why, you know, you are so inspirational to me and why I think Witchfest is going to be so freaking cool, because we all need that kind of kick in the pants sometimes to remember that this is what we're here to do, that this is important, and that, you know, we're here to help people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, I completely get it, because I don't know if I shared this last time, but when I was building this, the start of this business, I was also straddling the remnants of my old business. My old business, I like lost the bulk of my business overnight. You know, the world shut down in COVID and it just like all evaporated. And I was like, it's so distraught. And in that time, I realized that it was not aligned fucking at all. And so it was a blessing in disguise. But again, it's like, if I didn't have that spiritual awareness to tap in and be like, okay, like what is the lesson? What, like when we're looking for the lesson while we're in it, it allows us to kind of collapse time versus like freaking the fuck out and then potentially arriving at the destination and being like, oh, now I understand, you know. But I had held on to some remnants of that business and it felt really safe because I was in the industry for 10 years. So it felt like such a risk to just like let it all go, to release the clients that had been guaranteed to just continue going on, you know, just everything about it felt so safe, but it was also destroying my ability to step into this full time. It was literally putting a glass ceiling, because that was a fear-based decision. You know, that was me saying, I don't trust money to flow from here instead. So I need to grab onto it from over here. And obviously there's a strategy to this. There's a deep strategic way that we can do this without, like we talked about earlier, just like throwing yourself into the fire and dysregulating your nervous system, but it is uncomfortable. And so I can't even imagine having taken that leap, like without my guides, especially we were talking about earlier, like my wealth demon at that time. Because I had been talking about it for years, releasing those old clients, but I realized that I wasn't backing that with action. I wasn't putting my money where my mouth was. I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is burning me out. But then I wasn't like committing. And so when my wealth demon stepped forward, I was like, fuck, this is the time. So I promised him, I was like, I gave a date and I was like, I promise if you help me build my business the way I want, like if you help me do what I need to do and show me my blind spots and everything else, I will release what's not serving me by this date. I had a very specific date and we created a contract, and I, as scared as I was to walk away from that money, I was more afraid of pissing off my demons. So I was like, this is the fire that I need. I'm not going to fucking go back on my word with him because I don't know what would happen. And so I put my ass on the line in that way. And I gave myself like 3 months to fucking build this business. And oh my fucking God, even just the level of commitment that I felt in that moment when I put it all out there and I was like, I am 200% in on my business because I'm energetically unavailable to have to do anything else. I know I'm supposed to do this work. I'm unavailable for any other outcome. He was like, game on. And from that moment, everything, it was like an explosion. I didn't even walk away from the money yet. From the other business, it was just like that level of commitment and that fire that got like reignited in me, everything changed. It was like, it just like so many things started happening. And then of course, towards the end, there was a little test. So it was like, after I had like stacked all this new income, built all this new clientele, there were like a couple people that were meant to like, they said that they were going to sign up and like, there were going to be big contracts. And of course, 2 weeks before I was supposed to walk away from my other business, I started closing everything down. It was like crickets from the new stuff. And I was like, oh fuck. And then I was like, no, this is that same pattern. Like right when we're about to move through that growth portal, right as we're about to up level, the universe delivers us a choice. Are you sure you want to walk away from the old life? Some people call it a test. I call it a choice, but either way, we're given that fork in the road. Do you want to go back? And so there was a split second of like, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't. And then I was like, no, I know better. I know what this is. And so I was like, I am willing to release this. I did everything I could. I know that there was no way that I could have done better than I did. And so I released the old, and it was just like, again, like growth explosion. And so there is a way to do this strategically, but it is still so fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. But that knowing that you were talking about, right? That is what you get from a spiritual practice. You form a relationship, and you can call it with the universe, with your own intuition, with your higher self, with the spirits you work with whomever. And these are all options that are available to you. There's not one right way to do it, right? And that's something I really emphasize in my programs. I'm not here to teach you how to work with any particular spirits. We will have guest speakers for that, and you're going to be one of them. but I'm here to teach you the fundamentals of metaphysics, right? And that includes developing your psychic awareness, because that psychic awareness is what tells you when to make the scary decision. Yeah. And without how do you do it?
That's exactly my point. Like, I don't think I ever would have gotten to the point of releasing the old. And I think I would have sabotaged everything I was meant to be doing, because I wouldn't have understood that I was creating that glass ceiling over myself. If I wasn't looking at it through that lens, I shudder to think where I would be. I probably wouldn't have even started this, to be honest with you, because the level of witch wounding and fear that I had to move through to show up in this way with this brand, talking about like demons and shit in front of thousands of people with a regulated nervous system. There's a lot of healing that needed to happen that I wouldn't have even been able to move through that without a spiritual perspective. So it's like, when we look at it from this lens, it's like we look at the world and we see how many people are just like sick and like numb and empty. And it's like, it's because the spiritual component, whatever that looks like for anybody, is not valued in our society at all. It's not talked about. It's not valued. Like, is it, you know, your soul is supposed to lead you. Like, we could potentially, if our society was just like leveled and we had a chance to recreate, like we could create a society where like people are taught about intuition and alignment from day one. So then your entire life is just like this aligned path without all this unnecessary chaos and bullshit trying to fight alignment. You know, it's really sad when we look at it. And so it's like, I look back at my life, I wouldn't be here now without my spiritual practice, without my guides, without it would have been impossible.
And you may have made totally different decisions and been in a place where you're really struggling and really unhappy and still been gaslit into thinking that you should be super grateful for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's 1,000%. How a lot of people live their lives. You know, like they make the decision that's most practical, right? Mm-hmm. And isn't the right decision for them. And they kill the joy within themselves and they just go through the motions of life. And then they're told to be super grateful for it. And fuck. I don't want that for anybody.
I know.
You know, we don't all have to work a 9-to-5. There's other things you can do. And even if you love your 9-to-5, like you don't have to go home and play video games. I'm not knocking video games, okay? But I'm saying like there are things that everybody seems to do, and it's go to work, eat junk food, play video games, smoke some pot, go to bed, repeat. And where is like the life and the joy in that? I don't really see it. Again, I've done all of these things, and sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes that's the perfect day for me, but it sure as hell isn't every day. I want to create stuff. I want to act on my passion. I want to go out into life and say, I'm going to make a difference, and I know how to do it, and I have information that people don't have that I would love to share with them. You know, how this past month, from Venus retrograde into Mercury retrograde, how did all the muggles do with this, I wonder? You know, because I really struggled with it, and I knew it was coming. I was prepared for it. I saw what was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. And then when it happened, I was still really hurt by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God. It's same. And literally, and sometimes my guys are like, shit's going to hit the fan tomorrow. And I'm like, oh fuck. And then you go into tomorrow and it still somewhat blindsides you because it's not, you know what I mean? And so it's like having that level of awareness, and sometimes it still hurts or it still catches you off guard, et cetera. So it's like not having that, it is really traumatizing, because then it feels like everything's happening to you for no fucking reason. It's just like pointless chaos and trauma and pain over and over and over and over and over. And it's like looking back at my old life, so many things that I did were filling voids. And what's interesting is sometimes we can make similar choices, but have it come from a completely different perspective and consciousness and frequency. Like, for example, I love fancy shit. I love driving a nice car, et cetera. But in the past, prior to healing my trauma and connecting with my soul, I would buy things like that to try to fill a void, to try to like garner fulfillment and happiness and dopamine. And it would be very short-lived. And the void would get bigger every time. Where now it's like, I do those things from a place of alignment, a place of being proud of what I've built and being able to do that. And so it's like on the outside, my life in some ways may look similar, but the energy behind the way I lead my life is so different. And so in that old life, on paper, it probably looked like I had an amazing life, but I was fucking miserable. I was dissociated. I had a massive void. The stress was insane. And it was like, I couldn't figure out why I had this huge void that I was trying to fill. You know what I mean? With like buying shit and trips and all this stuff, because I was like, I didn't understand that I was trying to chase fulfillment and chase happiness. And mm-hmm. on paper, my life looked fine. I had a fitness business. I had all the shit, but I was miserable. And it, like, I was surrounded by great clients, et cetera, but it was like my soul was screaming to do something else and I was ignoring it. And every time I ignored it, that void got bigger and bigger and bigger. And so did the chaos and so did the pain. And so it's like, you know, we gaslight ourselves thinking like, well, I have everything I thought I would have wanted. I had everything that society told me I should have. And I feel miserable. And that's a mind fuck. And I work with people sometimes who are like top level CEOs. You're making hundreds of thousands of dollars. They have the Maserati, they have the beach house, and they come to me and they're like, I fucking hate my life. How did this happen? I have everything I was told I should have and want, and I have it, and it fucking sucks. You know what I mean? Like, that I think is the scariest thing of all, when you arrive at the destination that you've been pushing so hard to get to and you have it all, but you have nothing simultaneously. That's terrifying, because you're disconnected from your soul. Like, the level of fulfillment that comes from connecting with yourself and having because when you connect with yourself, you connect more deeply with people in your life. You have genuine mm-hmm. connections, like soul tribe connections. The level of authenticity and vulnerability and magic that comes from that is unparalleled. And so it's like having your spirituality be what leads you is everything. And there's no other way to say it.
Yeah, it's so important. And that connection to spirit, just like you said, that connection to spirit is your connection to yourself. And spirit exists. And this is something I'd love to talk about. Everyone's probably sick of me hearing it, right? But as above, so below, as within, so without. Yes, the spirits are out there. They are out there. They are external of you, and they can do incredible things, but they are also a part of you. They are also the internal. It's a part of who you are. And so by connecting to your spirits, you are connecting deeply to yourself. By connecting deeply to yourself, you are connecting to your spirits. They are one and the same. It's not one or the other. Everything is connected. This is one of the first lessons that we learn in spirituality in almost every practice, is that everything is connected in one way or another. The entire universe, is the one thing that exists. Let's not get into the multiverse, but metaphorically here, because I believe in a multiverse, obviously, right? But the universe, like, that we know that we reside in, is the one thing, and everything within it is connected. And just having that understanding, right? Because we live in a scientific paradigm where they're telling you the exact opposite. Nothing's connected to anything. You don't matter. Your life doesn't matter. You're just an accident. The universe doesn't give a fuck. There's no meaning. There's no purpose. There's no nothing, right? And that is deeply depressing. And it disconnects you from yourself, from spirit, from other people. And that is what, again, sorry not to be a conspiracy theorist, but that is what the people who rule the world want.
Yeah. Oh, 1000%. I mean, because that is traumatizing. Especially like when, you know, someone's been dealt or chosen, however you want to look at it, like a brutal hand of cards to clear karma, learn lessons, etc. To think that that's all for nothing. Yeah. What? To think that, right? Your soul is non-existent, and you are just a blip on the radar, and you are not, like, to tell someone they are nothing, that would be like going up to a child and being like, you are nothing, you are nothing, you are nothing. And having that program, their subconscious mind, how is that going to shape how they move through the world? Their self-worth, their ability to believe in themselves, their ability to have faith. Like, it doesn't fucking matter what you have faith in. It could be Jesus, it could be demons. It doesn't fucking matter. But like, if you don't have faith in anything, yourself, your guides, the universe, whatever, what point is there? What point?
Yeah.
And you'll never
take a leap of faith. And that right. leap of faith is but pivotal moment in everyone's lives. It's a moment in that if you don't have it ever in your life, I can't imagine what that life would be like.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And what's interesting is like my line of work puts me in touch with some very malevolent beings, parasitic entities, vampiric spirits. And so the most malevolent ones will try to break somebody's faith. Will try to get them in a corner where they're separated from their guides and they feel like they're all hope is lost. Because when you can break someone's faith, they have nothing left. And then we hear this in like prisoner of war stories, like when people give up, that's when they die, you know? And so it's like from a world perspective, if you have everyone running around believing that they are not important, that they mean nothing, that there's nothing else out there and they are insignificant, is that going to inspire them to create? To heal, to love, to put themselves out there, to take risks, no, it's not going to do any of that. They're going to go home and they're going to zone out and they're going to numb their pain and they're going to live on a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And then the rich just get richer.
And then they're going to say thank you for the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And they want you to say thank you for the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
You know, and there are levels. Okay. Don't get me wrong. There are, and I'm not trying to sound ungrateful because I've done a fair bit of complaining to you about this job that I have, where I get paid fairly well. I'm stable. I have that 9-to-5. And I know a lot of people struggle to find that but there's levels beyond that, right? Don't shoot for mediocrity. Don't set your goals at middle class, at mediocrity, because middle class, and let me tell you, and I'm not trying to say this to be insulting to anybody, because I am like the definition of middle class. I work in construction management. I have a side business where I try to make a little extra money to pay the bills, right? Like, I am middle class. Middle class is a death sentence.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's 1,000%. Not good enough. You have to shoot for so much higher than that.
Yeah. Well, because it's so comfortable. You know, even if it's uncomfortable, our brain is programmed to take what is predictable as what is safe, which is why people have a really hard time quitting the job, starting the business, leaving the shitty relationship, because our brain's like, shit, we can predict this. We know what's going to end poorly, but we can still predict it, therefore making it more safe. And so the middle class, like, and actually my mentor talks about this a lot, like the middle class money mindset is a trap, because it leaves you just comfortable enough. Why would you take unnecessary risk when all of your basic survival needs are met? You're not homeless, so therefore you should be endlessly grateful for a job that you fucking despise. And again, two truths can exist. We can hold gratitude for what we have, understanding that so many people go without. We can hold gratitude for what we have, knowing that there's an old version of ourselves that would have killed to have what we have. And we can also still want more. And that does not make us gluttonous. That does not make us selfish. That does not make us corrupt or power hungry or money upset. Like, we can still want more. We should want more. If there's one thing that the Infernals have taught me, it is raise the fucking bar on what you will tolerate, on what you desire, on the risks that you will take, obviously, like calculatedly, groundedly, et cetera. But like, raise the fucking bar, because so many people are complacent, and that will kill you. If you are comfortable, you're not going to change, because like, why would you get uncomfortable? Why? Honestly.
Yeah. And you know, to be clear, I'm talking about the modern definition of middle class. I'm not talking about Homer Simpson. Okay.
Right.
Even Homer Simpson, you know, had a wonderful life, and they owned their home, and they had a couple cars, and they had everything, you know. That middle class, that's a death sentence too. But the true middle class that exists today is living paycheck to paycheck. You have a car, you have a car payment, you pay your rent or your mortgage, you know, and you have just maybe enough left over at the end of the month to order pizza for your kids.
Well, you right. know, but again, it's like your survival needs are met there.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Like, your survival needs are met. So therefore people are backed into a corner, because they're like, we have nothing left to invest, to start a business, whatever.
Yep.
And we have nothing left to take any risk, but like, things aren't so bad. You know, people wait until like their life's on fire to take that leap. And then sometimes it's really hard to do so, because you're leaping from a burning bridge instead of like the bandwidth you would have had if you had taken the leap prior to like shit hitting the fan.
So yes, exactly. And I don't actually know who delivered this message to me, if it was one of my guides, if it was just my higher self, it was just, could have just been me, you know, but something I realized that I want to incorporate into my teachings, and will incorporate into my magical teachings from now on, is make your wildest dreams the bare minimum that you will accept. That's gotta be, because magic is a mindset.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, 1,000%. Huge
part of magic is it is a mindset. You cannot be in a state of desperation and manifest greatness or huge amounts of wealth. You cannot be at a point of total depression and say, I'm going to manifest my dream life. No, you have to have a magical mindset first. And that mindset is a mindset of success, a mindset of I can do anything. It's a strictly disciplined and controlled type of arrogance is what it is. Cause you got to take it to an extreme level, right? You have to take, and this is a treat. I'm going to give everybody a secret of manifestation right now. Okay. This is one of the big secrets of manifestation. Imagine what the thing is you want to manifest, and then get rid of that and imagine something 10 times more and shoot for that and stay completely focused on that goal. Because people don't always hit their goals. Now, do you want to fall short of a goal that's 10 times beyond what you really want? Or do you want to fall short of your goal? I'd rather shoot past my goal and then still be disappointed that I didn't hit the 10 times, you know, what I had tried to go for.
Yeah. Oh, well, 1,000%. Because if you shoot past your goal, then if you miss that mark, you're still probably somewhere above the original. But if you shoot for the original and you miss that mark, you're probably nowhere near that.
And you feel like giving up.
Right. Well, there's a couple of things that you said that I like definitely want to touch on. So one, I think that when people don't heal some stuff internally, whether it be their shadow, their emotional state, they use magic the way Christians use Jesus. They reach to it to save them. And it's like, if you are desperately trying to change your life and you're casting spells erratically and desperately, and you're not taking empowered action, your magic's probably not working. That's number one. Number two, The desperation piece is actually the most dangerous of all, because that is the window that opens for us to be manipulated by entities, by vampiric spirits. And so, unfortunately, I had a situation where I was severely psychically attacked by someone that I had previously deeply trusted. And there was a very malevolent vampiric attachment involved in all of that. And so what's really interesting is through that process, of course, I learned so, so fucking much. But one of the biggest things that opens us up to be manipulated, to be attacked, to be siphoned is that desperation. Because desperation is basically us, whether we're doing it consciously or not, saying, I am willing to do anything to change my circumstances. And there are malevolent spirits out there that are like, anything? Like, all right, you know what I mean? And that's where we can be fucking manipulated. And when you build a life on the frequency of desperation, you have to sit in that frequency to maintain it. So it's like, so many people are desperately chasing money and the business and the dreams that they have. And then when they arrive there, they wonder why they feel like shit. And it's like a house of cards. It's because it was built on desperation. Like, we have to step out of that energy to create something that exists outside of that energy. And then three, the arrogance piece. What's so interesting is I feel like in this world of manufactured authenticity on social media, people crying on their stories. And listen, I am not knocking emotions. I help people release emotions and heal emotional trauma. But there is a genuine way to convey emotions and convey vulnerability. And then there's a way that you can kind of like twist it to make money and garner like trust. Like, it's fucked up. There are aspects of the business world that are super fucked up. But what's really interesting is like when we start to transcend struggle and when we start to like live in this place, like you've built a decent amount of safety and your life is really good, that triggers people more than if you were having a hard time. Because people are like, wait, that's not fucking fair. Who the fuck are you to have that? You don't understand. And what's so funny is so many people who've transcended the struggle came from horrific circumstances. They just don't live in that frequency. They're not still rehashing the trauma. They're not making it their brand. They're living a beautiful life. And that is so triggering because other people who want to be victims and stay stuck are like, those people are illuminating the choices that the victim consciousness people won't make.
Yeah. And you know what I'm about to say is going to trigger the socialists and yeah, that's fine with me. I don't care. You know, this whole eat the rich thing. No, you want to be rich.
You want
to succeed. You don't want to take your anger out on people who are successful. It has never worked. This has been tried over and over and over and over again in history. It doesn't work. You cannot be mad at people who are successful. You have to want to be like them. You have to learn from them. You have to humble yourself, get over your own bullshit, and say, there's a reason I'm unsuccessful. There's a reason this person is successful. I want what they have. I'm going to learn from them. Not, well, fuck you for having money.
Yeah. Well, right. That's like a really pissy toddler temper tantrum kind of attitude. And again, like not having money can be extremely traumatic. And there's also the flip side of the coin. Like, are there people who are super corrupt and unethical who have a lot of money? Of course. But you can't fight them fucking dead broke. You can't fight them begging for handouts from the government, because then guess what? You are being controlled. You can very easily be manipulated. You can very easily be cut off. It's like, you can only change the paradigm if you yourself are empowered. So when people hate money and hate power and all that stuff, you can't fight those things from a disempowered place. The way we fight it is we heal our power wounds, step into healthy, heart-centered power, and we fucking create the change ourselves by having money and building empires in an ethical way. Like, because it's like, if you want to take down unethical corporations, you can't do that broke.
No, you can't need do to that. Build, you need to do what they street, do, but yeah. Do it ethically.
Yep.
You know, you need to compete with them.
Yeah.
And do it to your own set of standards, morals, ethics, all of that, right? And ethics are so important, because you can't be successful without ethics. You can be rich, you can be this, you can be that, but you can't be successful in life, truly successful, if you are unethical.
I completely agree. And this is one of the things I've seen inside of the spiritual space. Money and power are amplifiers. So this is why it's so easy to demonize money and power, because people in money and power, the cracks start to show. We see the terrible things that they're willing to do to maintain their money and their power and their status. Mm-hmm. But the money and the power are just amplifying who they already are. And so it's so common for people to step, especially into the spiritual space, and to feign empathy and love and good-heartedness, and then really build a business on the backs of other people's energy and all this stuff.
And then as they
get successful, the cracks start to show, because the money and the power amplifies who they really are. And so it's easy to demonize the money and the power, when in reality, we're not realizing it's an amplifier. It's holding a magnifying glass to who you are. So it's like, if you're going to step into that space and help and hurt, like anyone listening, if you're going to step into the space to help and heal other people, you better fucking be ethical about it. Because when you get to the other side and you have the money and the power, that will drop the veil on who you really are.
That's right. And there are so many, and this is, yo, I am on a mission to destroy these people. Okay. There are so many cults out there of some guru saying, open your third eye. You can manifest pearls into your palm of your hand. And they're using stage magic to trick people into thinking that magic is something it is not. So one of my favorite topics is the divine paradox, right? This is a part of the Kabbalion. And something I'm going to talk about at Witchfest. I love it. The divine paradox is, if we understand, if we can have the understanding that all of reality is a creation of the mind, if we understand the law of mentalism, that the that everything comes from your mind, and that if you change your inner world, you can change your outer world. If you fully understand that, then why can't I fly? Why can't I manifest a gold bar into my hand? Because, and I'll tell you why, because physical reality that you exist in, yes, it is an illusion, but is an illusion held in place by the laws of physics, and you're not going to break them. You are not going to levitate. You're not going to manifest, you know, a gold bar into your hand. You're not going to win the lottery tomorrow. You're not going to manifest a lottery win. What you're going to do is empower yourself to achieve those things. And that's what magic is really, really, really for. You know, there was a really, really smart guy. He was a master, not a master, but, you know, someone I used to really listen to. And he was talking about, look, I believe that if you were truly, if you truly mastered reality, you could probably manifest an orange into your hand, but I wasn't sure. So I spent, and I'm speaking from his point of view, I didn't do this, but he's saying I spent 8 hours in meditation attempting to manifest an orange into the palm of my hand. And at the moment before I finally decided to give up, somebody walked by and put an orange in my hand. And that's the way magic actually works. You can manifest anything, but don't expect it to show up like Harry Potter style. It's not going to be like that, right? And that is a divine paradox. Yes, magic is real, but no, it's not Harry Potter. It's, it's better than that. The your manifestations will come to you through the other laws of cause and effect and the laws of physics and everything else that holds reality in place. Because without those, you would disappear. Without those laws in place, if you were able to manifest a gold bar into your hand and just fly away, you wouldn't be here anymore. You'd be in the astral plane where you can do those things. But this is 3D. This is the physical reality, and magic can manifest incredible things into your life, but not in some silly cartoony way.
1000%. I love the lottery example because people don't understand how actually destructive it would be if it was that easy. You think it and it just like appears, because we look at look at anyone who's won the lottery. What happens to them financially? They go bankrupt.
They all go bankrupt.
And so it's like money was never the problem. It was the internal state that they were operating from, the scarcity, the void filling, the dissociation, whatever the fuck it was. So it's like you give someone an immense amount of money because people are like, I just need a little more money and then everything's going to change. Well, no, probably not. Because if you think that, then that is showing the disconnect in the consciousness. Like that's not actually the problem. What you think is the problem is not the problem. And demons will fucking illuminate that real fucking fast. And so for most people, they think like, if I just won the lottery, everything would be fine. But like, no, you're going to run the same programs from the same frequencies and continue to destroy your own life. And so it's like, thank God magic doesn't work that way. Think about the destruction that would happen if you would just like grab onto $500,000. If you are severely traumatized, you're going to repel that so quickly. And so this is why, tying it back to the infernals, like when we work with these beings, they show us the real limitations, because the infernals are very close to Earth. They're very close to our frequency. There's a lot of density there for them, which is why they can move physical things very quickly. They can collapse timelines. They can help us build businesses. Like they're, it's why the wealth demons are so potent in terms of like material stuff. Like money is not an astral thing. It's a 3D thing. So the wealth demons and the infernals in general are so incredible for that, because they understand the frequencies here because they're close to them, but they help us essentially clear the blockages that we put up to not have what we want because it scares us. So it's like, for example, if in past lives, and I saw this, I'll use a personal pattern. My Saturn was in my second house. So I came here to understand money and self-worth and clear karma, et cetera, in terms of finance. So, and my North Node is also in Capricorn. So like, it's obvious that I'm moving on the path that I'm meant to be moving, but it was fucking brutal at one point. And so what was interesting is I couldn't understand why the closer I got to the success I wanted and the alignment that I was like moving toward, the worse I started to feel, like panicky, like something terrible is going to happen, et cetera. So I started to go back into my past lives. The most notable past lives that I've had, the most impactful toward my soul, were lives where I all died at the height of my success, got brutally murdered or something terrible happened. And so my soul, because correlation and causation are not the same, but your soul will take away a lot of shit when you die in traumatic ways. So my soul started to assume that success and money equal death. which meant that it was repelling the very thing that I was trying to chase. My conscious mind is 5% of my brain. So consciously, I thought I was doing everything under the sun to get those things. And the closer I moved, it was like the goalpost was moving farther away. I was like, what the fuck? But that's because my soul was like, we're going to die if we get a hold of these things. Like, yeah. And that's how sneaky the shadow can be. And so we have to go in and heal these things, because it's not that the universe wasn't giving me what I wanted. You know, like Sky Daddy wasn't like, you're being bad. You don't deserve this money. It was the fact that my soul was like, we are facing imminent death if we have these things. So we're going to manufacture blockages and problems to make sure we don't arrive there, to make sure that we stay alive. Like, it's brilliant, but that's not the solution, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is something that, you know, I think people need to understand. Just sort of shifting topics here, but I get a lot of questions. You know, I take questions in my Facebook group, and people will ask things like, one that's common is like, why can't I remember my past lives? Well, you have to work for it. It's buried deep in your subconscious. But also, if you were able to remember your entire past life with complete vivid accuracy, you would not be you. You would be we. You would be two different or three different or 100 different people all at the same time, and you would fracture and have a total nervous breakdown, and you would be in the psych ward. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, well, right. So like, because a lot of times the shadow is really demonized because, like, yes, it does hold a lot of trauma and a lot of really fucked up shit, and it keeps us sane. Because even like from a non-trauma standpoint, the brain kicks things into the unconscious mind because it can't possibly hold everything. There's not enough space. It would literally fracture our psyche to hold everything. And so, for example, like my last past life, I was an Italian mobster. Like, how fucking different, you know? Like, so it's like we are meant to experience very, very specific and very sometimes different things. There's supposed to be a little bit of separation. And a lot of times there's a lot of trauma. So it's like these things get stored in the unconscious mind until we're ready to deal with them. And sometimes when we're not choosing to take a dip a toe in the water, the shadow will kick stuff up to the surface. And that can manifest as panic attacks, anxiety, depressive episodes, recurring nightmares, things like that. It's showing us that there's something bubbling up to the surface. And it basically is showing us the shadow is so full, it's spilling over into the conscious mind. But the shadow is demonized because people are like, it would be so different if we didn't have all that trauma being stored there. Well, the goal is not to go back to the most horrific things that happened to you and just kick it up into consciousness and then carry those memories. Terrible. No. Yeah. We want to heal them. We want to remove the imprints. We want to release the hold that it has on us. We don't just want to remember. But to your point, right, like we do have to work for it. Like people who struggle to meditate, their brain struggles to get into theta brain waves, the neural pathways aren't primed for that practice. Like it is hard in the beginning. But as with anything else, because I think like with magic and spirituality, there's like an intangibility. So people think like the tangible rules of the 3D don't somehow apply. Like if you're going to run a marathon and you've never ever gone to the gym, buying a gym membership is not going to help you run the marathon. You have to go to the fucking gym, but you have to be consistent 3 days a week. And I gotta with that. But it's the same thing with spirituality. You can't meditate once and then be like, where's my money? Where's my spirit guides? Where's my past lives? Like you have to take the same, like, you know, consistent dedication you would put toward anything else into spirituality. Just because there's a level of intangibility doesn't evade the 3D nature of consistency and dedication and devotion.
Yeah. And so this is why I love having you on the show and why I love having people like you on this show, because you might watch, I'm not going to name channels here, but you know, you may watch some spiritual YouTube channel and there's some dude on there who did one ayahuasca ceremony. He's like, I'm a shaman now, you know, and fuck that. It's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, you can't just fly to the jungle, spend thousands of dollars to have an indigenous person, you know, give you drugs and then come back and say, oh, I understand the universe now. Get fucked. That's ridiculous. You have to earn this shit. You have to work at it. It takes many, many years. I've been practicing magic since I was 15 and I am now fucking 40. Okay. And I am just barely at the point where I'm like, I'm ready to talk about this. I'm ready to share it with other people. It's what I've been doing for the last 2 years. I'm getting better at it, but it's still like you have to sort this shit out, right? And so, you know, to get back to what we're talking about, it's in your subconscious mind and it's all there. All your past lives, everything is all there, but you can't handle that information. It's there and it influences your life in a way that you don't understand. This is why Carl Jung said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate. That's exactly correct. You need to make it conscious, but you need to make it conscious bit by bit, piece by piece, putting the pieces together in a way that you can heal and release the trauma. And then once you do that and you release the trauma and you extract the lesson and you incorporate it, and then you do it 100 more times, That's how you start to get better.
Well, right. And to your point, like embodiment is a huge thing for me in terms of ethics. Like when people want to monetize something or they have one experience and they're like, you know what I mean? They jump right on that train. Like that's super dangerous. That's super that would be like me seeing one entity and being like, I can now deal with this. Like, no, there's like levels of depth and devotion and dedication and consistency that happen behind the scenes to make this work embodied, to make it ethical. It would be like, you know, trying to teach this stuff and not do it in your life. You know, like that's so fucking unethical. And I think that, again, like the world sets people up to be desperate. So they desperately try to set up a business. They desperately try to monetize things, not understanding, like if you're a business owner and you're not practicing what you preach, you're not living what you're trying to help people do, there's a disconnect. That's probably the reason why someone's not making money. And it's interesting because I see this all the time. People are like, oh, I want to teach this thing. Like I had someone come to me and she's like, oh, I want to teach like intuition, but she like is disconnected from her own and doesn't understand anything about her spirit team. And I was just like, how are you gonna teach that then if you don't even have like what the actual fuck, you know? And it's like it's terrifying. It's super terrifying. And so to the astrology thing, like Saturn in Pisces brings ethics and groundedness and limitation to like a notoriously watery, airy, fairy, ungrounded space.
Yes,
and so what's absolutely really interesting,
Saturn in Pisces is a difficult placement. You're Saturn in Pisces?
No,
in the second
no,
house?
No, but okay. I am Saturn in Aquarius in my second house.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
In March, Saturn moved into Pisces. I think it was like March 6th. Yes.
Okay.
And what's super interesting is that sort of dropping all these veils on like vampires in the spiritual space, on ethical people. It was like literally that transit happened. It was like boom, boom, boom. And so I think that we're moving toward like ethics and groundedness and spirituality. Like people need to get their shit together if they want to be a healer or a leader or whatever.
Yes. And then the fakes will be exposed because I'll expose them. But, you know, it's a test, right? You get into spirituality. You don't know what you're doing yet. You know that you're called to something. And then you come across this shaman who is, you know, some ridiculous white guy with a beard and he's 20 years old and he did ayahuasca one time in the jungle. And, you know, here he goes telling you all about spirituality and you have to figure out that that's bullshit. And if you don't, that's on you.
Yeah.
So it's fine that these people exist, like, but like these are tests you have to pass. You have to get past the fakes and the phonies and realize that there's no way to avoid doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're 1,000%. Trying to avoid the work, if your goal is to avoid doing the work, then this is not the field for you.
It's so funny that you say that because so many times I'll get messages about like demons from people and they'll be like, can the demons give me like lottery numbers? Can the demons just bring me some money? What offering do I have to put out? And I was just like, no guide will do that, but especially not the infernals, because I've seen people approach the infernals in those way and they get bitch slapped. Like it's not, that's not, it just makes me laugh. Cause I'm just like, if it were that easy, do you think that there would be so many people struggling? Do you like, it just blows my mind.
Listen, I'll tell you, everyone who's listening, if you want to manifest a lottery win, I'll tell you exactly how to do it. Okay. The next time you get a message from the Illuminati on Instagram or Facebook, take it very seriously. Call that number, give them all your money. It's all going to work out. Okay. And in the same vein, if you want to learn to levitate, there's a guy named David Blaine. He sells like box magic kits. That is what you need. Okay. He's got the secret.
Oh God, I feel like for legal purposes there needs to be like, and that's a joke for anyone.
Yeah, really, come on. Yeah,
sarcasm.
Don't call the Illuminati the Instagram Illuminati.
Oh God. Well, all of that to say, this is another reason why I am so passionate about curating events such as Witch Fest, because the people that I invite to speak at these things are legit. Because I think that a lot of times what happens is people wander into the spiritual space and the first account they come across on Instagram, the first person to reach out, like, you know, or people with flashy promises and things like that. And again, sometimes people get incredible results. Like sometimes people have amazing testimonials, but like do your research, use discernment, see how you feel sifting through that person's stuff, reading their testimonials, etc. Like discernment's everything. And so I curate events like this to bring together like truly ethical, grounded, knowledgeable practitioners, especially for people who are trying to explore new paths, just stepping into spirituality. Like that's a vulnerable place to be.
It is. Yeah. So, okay. So aside from you and me, I don't know who else is speaking.
Oh my God. There's so many amazing people. So you guys, I don't know if she's been on the show or not. Angelica Creasy. She's a priestess of Hades. She's a Salem witch. So she's speaking at it. Emily the Mystic is speaking at it.
Awesome.
The womb shaman, Nikki, is speaking at it. We have just like so many epic people. I have a whole list. I don't have it up in front of me, but we have incredible healers, shamans, mystics, occultists, witches, like so many epic things. We're going to be talking about demons, of course, and a million other things. So I'm sure you'll put the ticket link in the show notes for anyone who wants
absolutely
to yourself and so many people just present such amazing topics.
Yeah. And so, okay, that's a great place to wrap it up. Listen, all the links for Witch Fest will be in the description. Come join us. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for it. I can't wait to speak. I can't wait to hear the other speakers. It's going to be a fantastic. It's all month long, right?
Yep. Starts October 1st. The opening ceremony kicks off and it closes on Halloween. So lots of time for some epic shit.
I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. Kristen, thank you so much for doing the show again. Listen, we have to do at least one more because we've barely touched on the past life stuff.
You know,
we talk about demons and we talk about this and that, but like you have a whole other aspects of your business that I'm very curious about. So we got to do at least one more episode. But yeah, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye, everybody.